Barack Hussein Obama, in the middle of a recession, decided that it would be a good time to pass Obamacare. That was his trademark legislation. He will be famous for it for all time. It will always be called Obamacare. It still is called Obamacare years after, and in fact, two presidents later. He overstepped grossly. He started ruling by executive orders because in 2010, in the midterms, he lost the House. And I think he lost the Senate too, but he definitely lost the House. That was the year of the Tea Party conservatives. It was the uprising of the Tea Party. And for the remainder of his time, he ruled primarily through executive action because he didn't have a single legislative achievement to his name after Obamacare. He got Obamacare done in the honeymoon period, and then he was deeply unpopular. Look at Joe Biden. Biden gets in after a contested election. Most of us think that he cheated in some way. What does he do? He immediately starts passing major spending infrastructure bills and sending a bunch of money to Ukraine and now to Israel. Completely tone deaf to the fact that we've got huge amounts of inflation, runaway debt, a military force that has been gutted and incapable of winning wars. He completely bungled the withdrawal out of Afghanistan, leaving people on the tops of buildings, you know, like picturesque style. Like this is like Escape from Saigon. It was rinse and repeat. This is what happens when a Democrat comes into office. They wreck everything and then lose the House, which is exactly what he did in the midterm. Was it a huge Republican wave? It wasn't. But he still lost the House, and now it's divided government. And he rules primarily through executive action, and he's deeply unpopular. In 2012, we had a challenger named Mitt Romney. And Romney, at the time, appeared to be pretty conservative. Except that he had one fatal weakness. He was from the Northeast. He's a Rhino Republican. And when he was governor of the state of Massachusetts, the signature bill that we could have fought Obama on was Obamacare, but Romney had already passed Romneycare in the state of Massachusetts. So that took that off the table. Nevertheless, Romney is taller, more handsome, more articulate than Barack Hussein Obama. His mind was sharper. He ran a pretty good campaign. And everybody knew that his economic policies will be better for the country. 2024, you have Donald J. Trump. He's taller, he's better looking than sleepy Joe Biden, fake Catholic usurper in chief. He has a solid economic record. Most people believe that the world will be safer and more prosperous under his leadership, but he's got a fatal plan. He's got a fatal Achilles heel. You just still don't trust him. He's lied about major things. He's flip-flopped on issues. He's a Northeast Republican. In name only. It turns out Romney was out for Romney. And you can see that now. He was a narcissist. And the country will be better off when he is out of office, which he is set to retire soon enough. Is the same thing playing out. Now, in 2012, Romney still could have won and should have won. And it was a dead heat poll going into it. Right now, it's a dead heat poll, so they tell us. And Romney didn't even come close. He got trounced. When Virginia came in, and he was so far down, especially in Loudoun County, that was it. 2012 was over. There just was no chance. Do you remember at the time when Fox News refused to call Ohio, and then they went out and they got all these Bush appointees to be like, well, I don't know about Ohio, and they kept you on the edge of your seat. MSNBC and CNN had already called the entire election for Barack Hussein Obama. but they refused to call Ohio on Fox News. Megyn Kelly walking you in her shorts miniskirt, walking you into the decision room where the people are looking at it. Well, you know, with such and such precincts not reporting, we really can't call Ohio yet. Romney wasn't going to win Ohio. He wasn't even close. The show must go on. The Hunger Games will continue. The entertainment factor was through the roof. People's emotions were high. In 2012, it was Romney's to win, and he failed to win. Part of how he failed to win, though, was in Democrat politics, you always have to scare women into believing that they're going to be raped by Republicans and then denied healthcare access. And those claims started being made about Mitt Romney. Now, Romney, being a Mormon with a big family, those kinds of charges could stick to him. They could make the claim that, hey, you know, I think this Romney guy probably wants all of you women folks to, you know, just be birthers. This Romney guy, I'm not so sure that we can trust this Romney guy. He might take away your birth control. Now, if Romney were 1% as based as the left made him seem in 2012, I think lots of people would have enthusiastically voted for him. I sure as heck would have. In 2012, if we had a Republican candidate, like a true Pat Buchanan candidate, who would have been talking about the root causes and the philosophical causes of the decline of the West, including things like, yeah, we do need to ban birth control, and we need to ban divorce and adultery, and we need to ban pornography. We need to keep families together. We need to subsidize child rearing in stable households. I kind of like what they're doing over in Hungary. You have four children and you're still married? You don't pay income taxes anymore. That might be a good way to subsidize large, stable families that are reproducing and staying together. Is that going to eliminate porn? No. Is it going to eliminate abortion? No. Is it going to eliminate adultery? You'll never eliminate adultery. You never will. But currently, we subsidize it. And if you know anything about economics, if you want more of something, you subsidize it. And if you want less of something, you tax it. Are there ways that we can think about taxing adultery? Making adultery an expensive endeavor? Making adultery economically difficult for people to achieve? We could probably look at policies. Are there ways that we can make accessing pornography harder to do? Can we tax it into oblivion? You know, they tax cigarette smoke. I think the cost of production of a pack of cigarettes is less than $1. Those of you who smoke cigarettes are paying what, $5, $6, $7 a pack? They're trying to tax it into oblivion. They don't want people smoking cigarettes anymore. You know, when I was a kid, people smoked all the time. There were smokers everywhere. Did you want to sit in the smoking or the non-smoking section of the restaurant? Is there a huge difference between the two sections? There might be like some kind of partition or a wall in between them. You could still smell the smoke. There was still secondhand smoke. The non-smoking. We'd like to sit in the non-smoking section. You were always asked before being seated, smoking section or non-smoking section? I remember they would ask my parents this. It didn't matter that they had small children with them. I was with them. I'm like a kid. I'm like a small kid. And they're asking my parents if they're going to smoke in front of me. That was perfectly fine in the 80s. Now I challenge you to find a restaurant where smoking is legal. In many states, the whole state has banned it. And they tax it into oblivion. And few people do it. And the people that do it are pretty much addicted to it. And they may even be able to go to their states and get money to become unaddicted to it. So we have a long-standing history in this country of understanding how to get rid of a behavior that we don't like. You want less of something? Tax it. You want more of something? Subsidize it. Well, if those are the great laws of economics of supply and demand, it kind of seems like we want adultery and abortion and pornography and gay marriage and faggotry. It kind of seems like we want those things in these United States because those behaviors are subsidized. Subsidized by the Fed, subsidized by your state and county local governments. Homelessness is subsidized. Non-productivity is subsidized. It's called welfare. It kind of seems like our government wants us to be fat, lazy, stupid, and above all, immoral.